Look at all he's done. That's a great reminder. Grab your Bibles. Go to 1 Peter with me if you would. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. I didn't know they were singing that song. And it's amazing how God works everything out as far as messages are concerned. 1 Peter chapter number 4. The title of this morning's message is called The Trials of Your Faith. The Trials of Your Faith. When you get to 1 Peter chapter 4, go ahead and stand with me if you would. Again, I've said it multiple times, I'm glad you're in the house of God. Some of you don't look glad to be in the house of God, but I'm glad you're here. I'm glad everybody's made it to church this morning. And so, if something's going on in your life, just pray, God will take care of it. Amen. Don't let a bad spirit hinder the working of God and those that are around you. 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse number 12. It says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for how you've spoken to our hearts already. Lord, we're trying to praise your name. We're trying to give you the glory for what you do in our lives. And God, in all reality, there's so much that we can just stop and praise you for this morning. You've blessed our church beyond measure. You've blessed with so many different opportunities for us to be able to serve you. And Lord, now we're looking forward to a missions conference right around the corner, and we've got some messages geared up toward that and focused on missions over the course of the next couple of weeks. But Lord, right now, we know there's also trials that we go through and there's hard times that we face. And I pray that you'd help us as your people to be able to recognize those, but also to understand the reasons for them and why they happen. We know that nothing, as the lady sang just a moment ago, nothing is too hard for you. Everything, Lord, that we see in the Word of God is given to us for an example, as a reminder that you are the God of the impossible. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to be interested in our lives and to work miracles. Help us, Lord, to take that simple truth this morning and to look at it and apply it to our lives. Help us, Lord, to grow spiritually because of it. We'll praise you. We'll thank you. We ask these things in your name we pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Here in 1 Peter, we find that this book specifically is written by Peter. If you go back to chapter number 1, verse number 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Here he says that these strangers or these Christians are scattered throughout all the region. So this here book is written to those Christians that have been persecuted, those Christians that have been displaced, those Christians that are going through some trials, they're going through some hard times in their personal lives. And here he's writing this letter to them as a letter of encouragement and as a reminder that God is still interested in their lives and that God is still interested in working in them too. And here, so we see this book specifically is written during a time of persecution, during a time of trial, and we see that truth all throughout this specific book. And now sometimes when we speak of trials in the Christian life, we'll often, Brother Nick, use different terms or different terminology. Sometimes we say someone's going through a storm in their life, or someone's going through some persecution. They're going through a trial, or pray for them. They're facing a suffering. They're going through a struggle. There's tribulation. Sometimes we just refer to it as hard times or even a testing. And so there's different terms that we use and that will reference all really the same thing, and that is the fiery trial that we face. All these signify that somebody's going through a trial. They're facing something that the Lord has allowed in their life. Now, a trial is defined as a suffering that puts your strength, your patience, and your faith to the test. Now, a trial, again, it puts your strength to find out whether your strength is in yourself or in God. It puts your patience, your endurance, and also your faith, whether you're trusting in yourself, trusting in the things that you have, or you're trusting in your Savior. It puts those three things to the test. And many times we feel as we're going through a trial, sometimes we're going through a hard time, we feel like we are the only ones. Go back to the verse that we just read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. Before we even get into the message, let me explain a few things to you. Sometimes we go through trials in our Christian life. Sometimes we go through heartaches in our Christian lives. And sometimes we get the whole woe is me attitude. We get that Eeyore mentality. Woe is me. I think I'll float down the river and die. And we think we're the only one that goes through a hard time. We think that nobody else understands anything that we're going through. As a matter of fact, when we begin to tell our story, it is the worst possible that's ever happened. And somebody tries to console us and say, well, you didn't have it as bad as I had it. Well, I'm sorry that evidently according to your own personality and according to your own ideas and dictates, you think that God hates you. Okay? Now, I'm being facetious. God doesn't hate anybody. All right? God loves every one of us. But the simple fact is we get a woe is me attitude and we think that we're the only one that goes through anything. But look at what Peter says. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. He said, this is nothing strange. As a matter of fact, this isn't even new. Everybody who has ever lived for any amount of time has gone through a struggle. Everybody has faced a trial. Now, some trials are more advanced than other trials. I'll not dispute that. I understand that completely. But yours isn't the worst that's ever happened. Okay? By the looks of it, as I look around the congregation that's here this morning, every one of us walked into church under our own volition this morning, correct? Even if we had a walker, we all came here on our own. Well, none of us are laid up right now, which means God gave us two good legs to use, correct? None of us are moving the Word of God with our nose because we don't have hands. Right? We don't have nubs. God has blessed us. So don't think that you've got it worse than anybody else in this world. There are people in the world that's got it far worse than you do. We got to change our mentality. But we get this Eeyore mentality and we listen to the devil as he tells us that we have it worse than everyone else. Again, I've shared this with you before. When we often tell a story, we do one of two things. We either make ourselves the hero or we make ourselves the victim. Okay? And there are those, and you may even be in there in this room, I don't know. There are those who are masters at manipulation. And they are masters at making themselves the victim of every situation. I just got it so bad, you don't understand what I'm going through. Nobody's ever faced this before. You've heard people tell their stories. Here, Peter reminds the Christians that are scattered around. He says, this is not some strange thing that happened unto you. Brother Brad, you're not the only one that's going through it. We're all going through trials. Now, I don't say that to minimize your trial, but I say that to bring our trial into perspective. Are we listening? Well, I say it to bring it into perspective because we need to understand and we need to come to the reality that we're not the only ones that have problems. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got trials. Everybody has needs. But, as the girl sang a moment ago, is anything too hard for God? We serve a God that can take care of anything. We got it on the back wall. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That verse comes from a passage of Scripture where a 90-year-old woman never had a baby. And God allowed her to have a baby. Okay? So you think your problem's hard. God let a 90-year-old woman have a baby. Miss Goins, there's hope. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. She says, no. Lord, help us all. But in all reality, we serve a God of the impossible. And Peter had to remind the people of God of that. And there are times in our Christian life where we need to be reminded of that as well. That God doesn't have it out for us. That God does not hate us. But that this trial is coming for a reason. Here it says in verse 13, "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering." Here there's two passages we're actually going to look at this morning. We're going to look at this one. We're going to see some lessons from Peter. But then we're going to look in Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to look at some lessons from the potter as well. But here, according to verse number 12, the Bible says when we view our trials that we're not to think that it's a strange thing happening. We're not to think that we're the only ones that are going through anything at all. As a matter of fact, hold your place here and go back with me to Psalms chapter 119. I've shared this verse with you on a couple of different occasions before. I love this specific verse because it really brings everything back into a perspective we need to see. Psalms 119, this is the longest chapter in your Bible. It's right smack dab in the middle of your Bible. Verse number 71, here David says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." When I first read that, and it stood out to me, I had to take a double take. In all actuality, it's good that I'm going through a trial? Where does that make sense? Well, everything makes sense in the Bible when we look at it from God's perspective. Here, why is it good for us that we've been afflicted? We've got to read the rest of the verse for it to make sense. "That I might learn thy statutes." Here, it was good for me to face a trial. You go back to 1 Peter 4. It was good for me to face an affliction. It was good for me to face a hard time because then I learned the Word of God. Then I learned that I can put into practice the things that the man of God was saying. Then I learned how to apply the truths that I've been given. You see, I've shared this time and again before. Mountaintops, they're inspirational. But valleys, they're instructional. That's where we get to put to practice the things that we've learned. We all want the mountaintops and we all want the joy and we all want to be on top of the world. But the reality is, the majority of your Christian life is going to be faced in a valley and during a trial. And we're going to face these trials and we need to understand what our responses ought to be. So verse 13 tells us what our response should be. He says, "But rejoice." He says, don't think that it's strange. Don't think that you're the only one that's ever faced this, but rejoice. I'm supposed to be happy during my trial. You see, during your trial, you spend more time praying than you ever did before. During your trial, you spend more time searching the Word of God than you did before. You see, during your trial, you begin to walk with God and you begin to beg and plead for God to do something, not just in your life, but even in your loved ones' lives. And so you get to rejoice because it's drawing you closer to the Lord. He says, rejoice. Why? Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. Not only am I drawing closer to the Lord, but also I get to partake or be a partner of Christ's sufferings. You see, Christ suffered too while he was here on this earth. As a matter of fact, he suffered without cause. Sometimes you think you're going through a trial. Sometimes we don't understand why we go through them, and sometimes we feel like we're going through it without a cause. Jesus Christ went through that as well. He suffered without cause. He suffered without blame. Sometimes we look at the bad things that happen, and we often ask this question of, why is this happening to me? When in all reality, we need to change our perspective and start asking the question, God, what would you have me to learn from this? Because there's always something God wants us to learn. As we go through trials, as we go through heartaches, as we go through hard times, there's something God wants us to learn. And what does He want us to learn? At the end of verse 13, it says, "That when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." You see, when you go through the hard times and you go through the trials and you go through the fires of life, the Bible tells us that it's like our faith, and we'll get to it in a minute in 1 Peter 1. Our faith is being tried in fire and it's more precious than gold. And what happens is when it's revealed and God has purified our faith, then there's exceeding joy. and there's gladness in our lives because we got to see God work on our behalf. We got to see God do something for us. Listen, I spent the vast majority of my life in church. I didn't always make the right decisions. I didn't always do the right things. But I grew up in church. I began to go to a Christian school when I was a teenager. I got saved when I was 15. And I really began to get plugged into the different things. And listen, while I was in church and growing up and going to different youth conferences and preachers meetings and missions conferences, all these different things that were going on, I would hear all these men of God share their stories of what they had seen God do in the ministry. And I remember many times, even when I was in Bible college, that my heart would just burn deep inside of me and I would desire for God to do great things like that in my life. But I can tell you several story after story after story of miracles that God has worked in my life. Now listen, that doesn't just happen. We can desire to have a story. We can desire to have all these great things to see that God does in our lives. But in order to have the story, you got to go through the trial. In order to have that experience, in order to have that testimony to share with somebody else, you've got to have something to testify about. Brother Brandon, you were in the military. Brother Thoreau, you're in the military. I love sitting, Brother Guillermo, in the military. I love sitting and talking with our veterans. And I like to hear stories of different things that they experienced. My grandpa was in the Navy. He was served in the military for 34 years, fought in Vietnam. He fought even in Desert Storm in the Army Reserves. And there were certain stories that I would just sit at his feet and I would just listen and soak up all the things he would talk. Now, he wouldn't talk about, like most veterans, he didn't talk about Vietnam and all the different things that happened there. Most of them still don't talk about that to this day because of the things they've seen. But I try to soak up the truths and the things that he would share. But you know why he had stories? Because he had been through the trials. In that same vein of thought, there's different men of God and different pastors I've gotten the opportunity to talk to and gotten the opportunity to meet and different heroes of the faith and begin to listen to their stories and listen to what God has done in their lives. And I'm reminded the only reason they have stories is because they had to go through some trials. They had to learn how to trust God too. You see, in our Christian lives, if we're going to be able to help somebody somewhere down the road, if we're going to be able to have a testimony to share with somebody, then we're going to have to face some trials. We're going to have to face some hard times. We're going to have to face some difficulties. And we're going to spend some nights weeping and some nights praying and some nights begging God to do a work. And then when God does it and He comes out on the other side, we've got a testimony greater than anything else that we can share with somebody. And we can testify of the goodness of God in our lives. I can tell you story after story. We've got a missions conference coming up. I can tell you story after story of me and my wife in our lives, how we've every year increased our faith promise missions, not knowing how God was going to provide. But we gave it by faith every week. By the way, it's always the first thing that comes out. Our tithe and our mission is the first things that ever come out. We give it by faith and we trust God to provide. And there are even times where we've seen and we've looked that our outgo for the year, our expenses, were far more than what our taxes said our income was. Now that math doesn't add up everywhere. Well, Brother Nick, like you said in Sunday school, that's God's math. God has a way of working it out. God has a way of providing in a way that we'll never understand and comprehend. And I can tell you story after story after story of what God has done and how God has given different things. The house where we live at, the land that our house is on, somebody gave that to us. The car that we drive, somebody gave that to us. These are miracles that God has worked. It's not because we're anything, but it's simply because God chose to bless. And we could testify of the goodness of God. And now we can teach and tell our children, hey, I have no doubt God will provide. I don't know how He's going to provide. I don't know when He's going to provide. But because He did this, because He did this, because He did this, because He's blessed in this way, in every opportunity, I know God will provide. And here Peter's reminding those Christians that are scattered abroad, don't think it's strange concerning the trial that you're going through. God has a way out. God's going to provide in the midst of it all. The trial that you're facing, God is going to work a miracle in your life. Here, when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Why? Because you got to see an answer to prayer. You got to see your God do something for you. Now listen, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But in your mind and in your hearts, if I were to go around the room and ask the question, how many of you want to see God do something great in your life? Every one of us would say we do. Every one of us. Now listen, you can spend the rest of your life listening to everybody else tell their stories of what God has done, or you can go get some stories of your own. Amen? You can claim the power of God, and you can watch God work in your life. Don't sit and gripe and complain because of a trial that you're facing and a hard time that you're going through. Trust God. Sometimes we don't see the blessings of God, Brother Kenneth, because during our trials, all we do is complain. That's why we don't see the blessings. You see, we use around here, all the kids here know, we use the ACE curriculum. One of the things about the ACE curriculum is if you don't make an 80 on your test, then you failed it. And you got to because you didn't learn all the material you were supposed to learn. I think there's sometimes in our Christian life, and by the way, according to that, we're supposed to redo the whole thing so that we can learn the material properly. I think sometimes in our Christian life, God allows us to go through tests and trials, and sometimes we miserably fail those tests. And then we wonder why we're going through that same test again. It's because we haven't learned what God wanted us to learn. It's because we haven't exercised the faith God wants us to exercise. Why does this keep happening to me? Well, maybe if you quit being stubborn and hard-headed and learn what God wants you to learn, we can get past the trial we're going through. Amen. We've got to learn what God has for us. You see, trials, when handled properly, bring us joy and gladness. It was good for me that I had been afflicted, the psalmist said. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. Because then I was able to learn what the Word of God meant. Then I was able to learn the preciousness of this blessed old book that I hold on to. You see, the trials we face draw us closer to God. According to verse 14, here it says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Now notice, it does not say if ye be reproached because of your own foolishness. Some trials we go through because we brought it upon ourselves. Some trials we go through because they're troubles and discouragements of our own making. Oh, you don't understand everything that I'm involved. You don't understand all the debt that I have. Listen, that was because of our own makings. We chose to do that. Don't blame that on God. If ye be reproached, though, for the name of Christ, he says, happy are ye. Why am I happy? Again, I love the Word of God because it gives us an answer every time. For the Spirit of glory and of God who resteth upon you. So here, God's Spirit is resting upon you, but also His glory is resting upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified. You see, Brother Thoreau, sometimes we go through these trials, and there are opportunities for us to praise God's name. There are opportunities for us to be able to tell somebody how good our God is. Not to complain about the things that we're going through. On their part, He is evil spoken of. But on your part, on our part, the Bible says He's glorified. Which means we praise God for what we're going through. Sometimes you just praise your way out of the pain. You give God the glory for what He's doing. I've heard it said, and there's even an old song, one of the Heartland Trios, Assurance, sang it back when I was in Bible college a long time ago. And the title was, For My Good and For His Glory. And in the chorus it says, this trial's not the end of the story. There's a bigger picture that God alone can see. He takes me through the sorrow He knows, but I know who holds tomorrow, and it's for my good and for His glory. And the trials that we face, it's for our good, but it's for the glory of God. Go back, you're in 1 Peter chapter 4, go back, it's just a single page backwards in my Bible, in chapter number 1. Here, chapter number 1, in verse number 6, it says, wherein you greatly rejoice. Again, these are those that are scattered because of persecution. He says, you can rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Here, in verse number 6, the Bible tells us that we can greatly rejoice because our trial won't last forever. It won't last forever. How long is it going to last? It says, though now for a season. Hold your place here. Back in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. For the longest time, when I was a teenager, this Ecclesiastes was my favorite book of the Bible. You say, that's just a weird book to be your favorite. Probably. I'm not normal anyway. Ecclesiastes, though, is a book that's written at the end of a man's life. And you see a complete picture of the battle between the flesh and the spirit. The constant back and forth. Where he said, I tried all these things according to the flesh. And it was all vanity. It didn't work. And he comes full circle at the very end and says, to remember now thy Creator in the day of thy youth. As a young person, to remember to put God first. And by the way, as an old person, remember put God first in every area of your life. But here, right at the beginning of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3, he deals with this idea of there being seasons. Verse number 1 says, to everything there is a season. Let's put that up there, Brother Ethan. Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. You say, there's absolutely no reason for the thing that I'm going through. No, there's a purpose. That's what your Bible says. There's a purpose. There's a reason. We may not always understand it. We definitely may not always like it. But there's a reason. To everything there is a season. You see, life comes in seasons. Some seasons are longer than other seasons. In Oklahoma, some seasons are shorter than other seasons. We thought winter was gone. It showed up for today, and this week it'll be gone again. It's going to come back one day later this week, and then the next week it'll be gone again. It comes back and forth. Sometimes the season, we think that it's gone, and we think that it's over, and it shows back up for a moment, and then it's gone. Sometimes your trial, you think you're at the end of it, and it resurfaces. You ever been through that? I thought I was finished with this. And then it came full circle. Just a few more days, you had to go through it again. And then God gave you the victory completely. You see, things come in seasons. Verse 2, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down. A time to build up. I've got underneath this passage written in my Bible at the very bottom of the page. What season is your life in? That's something we've got to ask ourselves. What season is my life in? Sometimes you're going to be in a season of persecution and trial. Sometimes you're going to be in a season of victory. Sometimes you're going to be in a season of great rejoicing and great blessing. And then sometimes you're going to be in a season of drought. And it seems like you're not getting any answers at all. It seems like you're in a dry and a thirsty land and you're just waiting for God to do something and He hasn't done it yet. We go through seasons. And sometimes the season's going to be like it was yesterday and just going to rain and pour droves and droves and droves upon you. And sometimes you're just going to weep because of the blessing of God and how He's just opened the windows of heaven and He's poured you out something that you can't even handle. Our lives, they come in seasons. Back in 1 Peter 1, verse 6, it says, "You greatly rejoice, why? Though now for a season." My trial is only for a period of time. Now again, that season may be longer than somebody else's season. That season may be shorter than somebody else's season. But it's only for a season. Only for a season. In the full spectrum of things, it's only for a short period of time. He said, "Well, I thought I was past all of this." Well, evidently, somewhere along the way, God wanted us to be able to learn how to trust Him again in that area. And we've got to be able to trust the Lord. "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season," 1 Peter 1:6, "if need be." Those three words are of utmost importance in your Bible. It says, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be." That means that I need the trial I'm going through. Now listen, sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow. But sometimes God allows us to go through trials because our faith needs it. Our faith needs it. We're in 1 Peter 1. Our faith needs it. And we've got to process that. Our faith needs to go through a trial. Why do I need to go through a trial? "If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations." Verse 7, "that the trial of your faith." Why? "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth." You see, your faith, Brother Brad, is more precious than gold. The things that we spend our lives wearing ourselves out for, our faith is more precious than that. The things that we exhaust the body to gain more of, our faith is better than that. That's what your Bible says. That the trial of your faith, not only is our faith better than that, but our faith being tested is better than that. Is that what it says? "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold." So it's not just our faith that's more precious than gold. It's the testing of our faith that's more precious than gold. Because that's when God finds out what we're made of. But let me reword that. That's when we find out what God already knows that we're made of. That's when we find it out. You see, you've heard it said before, and we've said it, Brother Throw said it several times. A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. And if God can't test our faith and us come out to the other side with more trust in Him, then we're never going to be able to grow spiritually. Then God's not going to be able to put more in our lives. By the way, if there's not any more trials, then there's probably not going to be any more blessings either. Because they go hand in hand. The blessings come after the trials. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." I've met some men of God that to be in their presence, you feel very inferior because of the things they've gone through. Because of the burdens they had to bear. Because of the trials that they had to face. Here in our Christian lives, the Bible says our faith, when it gets tried, one day is going to be found unto praise. That means that other people are going to be able to praise the faith that you have. Now listen, we don't trust God because we're looking to get something out of it. But that's one of the byproducts, is we get to be a testimony to somebody else. And we get to show them by how God did this in our lives, how we can praise our way through that and show somebody else what God can do. And then you've got a young Christian that can look at you and say, wow, I want that kind of faith. And our response ought to be, well, you can have it, but you got to go through the trials to get it. Might be found under praise. And it says, and honor. Meaning that you're going to be honored by God and by others because of the trials that you faced. The things that you've gone through. The testimony that you have. And it says, and glory. You're not glorying in yourself, but you're glorying in your God. Because again, it's not about us. It's about the God that we serve. Here, Peter's reminding us that our faith is much more precious than that of gold. And because of that, it needs to go through the fiery trials. You see, gold, when it's heated up in the fire, when it's tried in the hottest of the flames, that's when the impurities of that gold rise to the top. They call it the dross. And they scrape that off. And that's where you get the pure gold. That's where you get the pure silver. I read an illustration here recently about going through the refiner's fire and the trials that we face. And how when we go through the refiner's fire, the refiner will sit down in a chair, okay? And he'll have on the plate or on the long rod, he'll have the piece that's being purified in the fire. He'll have it in the fire and that door will be closed to keep all the heat resonated inside. But inside that door, there's a small little peephole. Are you listening? There's a peephole that the refiner can see what's going on inside the fire. Which means that as you're going through the fire, you're being watched by an almighty God. He's always got his eyes on us. He's not oblivious to what's going on in our lives. But rather, he's very, very aware. And he's not going to allow it to get hotter than what he knows needs to be in our lives. I was reading this about that refiner. And somebody had asked how you can tell when that silver or when that gold is ready to be pulled out. He responded with, that's an easy question. See, when I look through that peephole, when I can see my reflection inside the metal, then I know it's done. Then I know it's ready. Listen, that tells me that when we go through the trials of life, God doesn't forget about us in the trial. But rather, God is watching us during the trial. And during the trial, as God is watching us and the purification process is taking place, God knows that it's completely purified and we are ready to be pulled out of the fire when He can see His reflection in our lives. By the way, is that not the ultimate goal? Romans chapter 8, verse number 29, that we're to be conformed to the image of His Son. That we're to be purified to the point to where God can see Himself. By the way, our choir has a song that they sing, and it's entitled, I Saw Jesus in You. Sometimes we go through the trials so that others can see a little bit of Jesus in the flesh. It's during those trials, during those hard times, that we're purified. Go back with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. Lessons from Peter and lessons from the potter here. Jeremiah chapter 18. I don't have this big long outline. I'm just sharing you with some thoughts that God's given. I want to help you with these truths this morning. Here, the Bible says in Jeremiah 18, verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Here Jeremiah, by the word of the Lord, went down to visit the potter, and he watches him create a work on the wheels, as the Bible says. While he was there, God reveals to Jeremiah how Israel was like the clay, and how God is the potter that's in control of it all. Now we know that in context here, this is referring to the relationship between God and Israel and some judgment that God was going to allow to happen in Israel's life. But by way of application, we can apply this to our lives as well. Here, notice, we are likened unto this clay while God himself would be the master potter. Notice here, he went down to the potter's house. This is why it's important we come to the house of God, amen? Because this is where we can come and be able to see that, hey, I'm not the only one that's going through a hard time. I'm not the only one that's facing a trial. But rather, I've got brothers and sisters in Christ who are going through trials as well. And they can help me, according to Galatians chapter 6, as the Bible says, to bear ye one another's burdens. I can come to the house of God and somebody can help lift up my hands. And somebody can help bear the burden that God has allowed me to carry. We can bear that with one another and so fulfill the law of Christ. But notice here, I went down to the potter's house. Behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. You see, sometimes it's not until we get around God's people that we realize what God is allowing into our lives is a work that he's trying to do. You see, one of the worst places you can be in your Christian life when you're going through a trial is isolated and alone. It's one of the worst places you can be. You've got to get around God's people so that we can get the encouragement that we need to get during the trials that we face. Because it's around God's people that we're able to get that restoration. Was it not Paul that was bragging on his friends because they refreshed him while he was in prison? He said, they refreshed me. We went over that already in 1 Timothy, those of you that have been here for the studies. Would to God that our lives can be a refreshment to somebody else. Like that sweet cup of water. I don't like water. Sweet cup of sweet tea, amen? Some cold sweet tea. Praise God. Take a good little drink of that. Get a refreshment. Ah, that's so good. And to get around a brother and sister in Christ, and they give you the encouragement, and you're able to look at the encouragement they've given you, knowing they're not trying to hurt you, but you can take it to your life and you say, man, that's so good. I needed that. I needed that truth. And sometimes we come to the house of God and we're beaten up and we're bruised and we've been bullied by the world all week long. We come to the house of God and we hear God's message. Sometimes we're leaving and we're rejoicing, saying, I needed that. I don't know what you're going through, but I know what God says we need. But notice here in verse 4, they were in the potter's house. The potter was making a work like he always had done before. But notice what your Bible says. The vessel in verse 4 that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Here the vessel had a problem. He had made a clay before. He had made this pot before. He had taken and made a vessel just like this in other times and other instances. But this one had a problem. This one was marred. It was not supposed to be that way. You ever gone through something? And you've been through a trial or even been through a hard time and you look at God and you're praying, and God, it wasn't supposed to be like this. Yeah, we've all been there. The vessel was marred. God, it wasn't supposed to turn out like this. God, I didn't know I was going to have to face something this hard. The vessel was marred. But notice where the vessel's at. Listen, don't miss your Bible when you read your Bible. Notice The next few words. It was marred, but where is it? In the hand of the potter. Here the vessel may be marred, and here the vessel may have an impurity. Here there may be a rock, or there may be some stubble. There may be something that had come up in the midst of working this work on the wheels. But where's the clay at? It's still in the hand of the potter. It's still in the center of the wheel. Listen, it doesn't matter the trials that we go through. It doesn't matter the hard times that we face. It doesn't matter the marring that happens in our lives. As long as we stay in the center of the wheel. As long as we stay in the hand of the potter. Because who can fix the marred clay but the potter? Who can fix the impurity? Who can remove the stubble? Who can start over again? The potter can. And we've got to stay on the wheel. By the way, the best place for you to be for the healing that happens in your lives, the hurt happened while it was in the potter's hand. Think about this. I don't have this written down. Think about this. God just gave it to me. The hurt happened while it was in the potter's hand. But where did the healing happen? In the potter's hand. What happens, Brother Thoreau, so many times is people get hurt in the ministry. They get hurt during a trial, during a hard time they go through. And then they get mad at God and they quit church. And they quit everything they've been taught and they throw to the wind everything they've been given. And then they wonder why their life turns into a living hell afterwards. It's because they didn't stay in the hand of the potter for the healing. You see, wherever the hurt happens, that's also where the healing is going to happen. In the center of the wheel. Now, we can make applications to our lives all day long. That your life needs to not just stay in the center of the wheel, but in the center of the will of God. The W-I-L-L. Here, the potter had the clay in his hands. And while the clay was in the potter's hand, the potter could do whatever he needed to do with the clay. And as long as you stay in the center of God's will for your life, God will continue to mold you. He will continue to shape you. He will continue to make you into what He wants you to become. But when you begin to remove yourself from the hand of God, you also remove yourself from the protection of God. You also remove yourself from the completed work of God. If this clay would have jumped off the wheel of the potter, now you say that's foolish. Okay, be with me a moment. I deal with kids all the time, okay? If the clay were to jump off the wheel of the potter and were to run off and do its own thing, that clay, to this day, would still have the mar in it. Think about that. That clay would have hardened with the hurt still in it. Is that not what happens in our lives when we leave the will of God? We harden our hearts to the things of God while the hurt is still there. That's why you can knock on someone's door and invite them to church and say, I'm not going to church. Church hurt me. Church didn't hurt you. People hurt you. And you didn't stay in the center of God's will for healing. By the way, that's why when we come back to the will of God, sometimes it takes a lot of breaking for God to fix the hurt. Because if you're going to fix a hardened vessel, you got to chip away the hard parts to get the impurity out so you can begin to mend that and fix it from the inside out. It's that way in our lives too. Here, it was marred in the hand of the potter. But because it was in the hand of the potter, and because it was on the wheel, and because the water... How many of you ever seen a potter do his work? Anybody? Okay, we got a couple in here. So what happens is there's a wheel that's spinning, and there's this little thing that he pushes down on, and it rotates the wheel, okay? And it spins the wheel. And he takes his hand, and he'll dip it
in this basin of water, and he'll add water to the clay to keep it moist and to keep it wet so that he can be able to mold it and shape it into what he wants it to become. And when it begins to dry, he begins to add more water to it. Again, we can make application. The Word of God is called the water of the Word. What happens when our hearts begin to get dry and hard to the things of God? We get into the Word of God, and it softens us to God's Word, softens us to God's will, and softens us to God's work in our lives. Here the Bible says, so he made it again another vessel. Meaning that God wasn't through with the vessel. Even though the vessel was marred, even though the vessel had an impurity, and you may be thinking, you don't know what I've done in my life. Listen, I don't have to know what you've done in your life. God can make you new again. Because that's what he did here. When God was molding the clay, when God was molding the vessel, when he was shaping the pottery into what he wanted it to become, he found an area that was marred. The Bible says that he was able to fix it because it stayed in his hands. So he made it again, another vessel. You say, God can't do anything with my life. Don't ever think that. Listen, you're going to believe the lie of the devil is what you're going to do. Don't ever think that God can't use you. We got a missionary that's coming in, Brother Henson. He's going to share his testimony. He's a missionary to the Rock of Ages prison ministry. But the reason that God's given a burden for those guys that are in prison is because he was once there. Brother Michael Scott, right? Was a death row inmate. And now he's a preacher of the Word of God. And God's given him a ministry to minister to death row inmates. Why? Because he's taken the hurt. He allowed God to make him new again. And he used everything that happened in his life as a testimony of God's goodness and grace. Don't ever think you're too far gone. Because God has a fascination with working with the impossible. I think oftentimes we say that this is impossible. And sometimes I think God may be sitting back and saying, just get out of the way. Let me do my work. Just watch me. I want to be like Elisha, asking hard things of God and then watching God do them. Here, he made it again, another vessel. Then notice the next phrase. As seemed good to the potter. Brother Zach, he didn't ask the clay what he wanted to be. You ever think about that, Brother Roberto? The clay didn't have a voice. The clay didn't have a choice. He made it the way that he wanted to make it. You say, but I've got these plans and I got these desires and I want to do this. Listen, if you want the hand of God on your life, you need to submit your will to God's will and allow God to do the work as he sees fit. You keep saying, I want to make this of myself and I want to be this and I want to be that and I want to do all these things. The Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. The Bible says, to delight thyself in the Lord and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. It's never ceased to amaze me that when you surrender your will to God's will, God does what he wants in your life, and then sometimes he'll open the window and door and let you do what you want and still bless you in those ways too. He'll give thee the desires of thine heart. That's what your Bible says. I went to Bible college. I wanted to be a Christian school teacher. I've always loved education. I know. Weird. I know. I've always loved it. It's always been exciting to me. It's always been fun. Watching that light bulb come on. Now, sometimes that light bulb's pretty fried, but watching it come on is always pretty fun. I always wanted to do that. I went to Bible college studying education. While I was in Bible college, God called me to preach. I was like, but God, I want to do this. God says, I want you to do this. I surrender my will to God's will. And it's never ceased to amaze me how God lets me do both. God lets us. If you surrender your will to the Lord's will, and you do what God wants you to do, and you allow God to work in your life and make what he wants to make out of your life, Many times He'll open that window and He'll allow you to do things that you enjoy too. He'll bless you in ways beyond measure. I was talking to Brother Randy Dignan some time ago. He's pastoring over in Jacksonville, Bible Baptist Church. And many of our young people know him. They've heard him at youth conference, church camp, different places. Brother Dignan has always been a special blessing to me. I met him right after I got saved. The very next summer I met him. I've known him for over 20 years. I was talking to him here recently. And he said, it never ceases to amaze me the things that God lets me do. He has always enjoyed traveling, always enjoyed doing these different things. He said, he was telling me, sharing with me a story how God allowed him to go on a missions trip to the Bahamas. And God opened a door of opportunity for them to get into the public schools. He has preached the gospel in every single school in the Bahamas. Every single one of them. Seen hundreds of folks get saved. He said, while I'm there, we're ministering to God's people and doing God's work. He said, I got to learn how to scuba dive. He says, one of the most amazing things. I said, well, you can have at it, but I don't want scuba dive. I ain't interested in that stuff. He was talking about all these different things that God let him do. He said, I get to do God's work, but God lets me do things I enjoy. I can tell you story after story after story of how that is so true. Brother Throat can tell you those stories as well. Listen, if you just simply allow God to do what He wants to do in your life, just watch God work. He made it again as seemed good to the potter to make it. You say, but I think I ought to have a voice in how my life goes. Really? Is it your life anyway? Last time I checked, God's the one that breathed into you the breath of life. Last time I checked, God's the one that gives life and takes it away. And if He's the one who gives life and He's the one who takes it away, then He's the one that ought to have a say in how we live it for Him. But I want to do this. Yeah, okay. You keep pursuing what you want. And you see how little you can make of your life. I'm not belittling anybody. But you do what God wants you to do. And you watch how much God can do with your life. Because what God can do is so much more than what we could ever imagine or think. God has blessed our lives in so many ways. But here, the clay had to stay in the hand of the potter. The potter did not throw the clay away. He removed the mar and he finished the work. You see, just because there's something difficult in your life, allow God to work through it. Allow God to remove whatever hurt it is so that He can continue making you into what He wants you to be. You see, in the Christian life, trials are inevitable. But through our trials, God wants to teach us, mold us, and perfect us so that we can become what He wants us to become. We must remember that through all of this, we are in the center of God's hands. And that we're going through a trial because our faith needs it. Merging the two passages together, okay? We go through the trial in the hand of the potter because our faith needs it. And as our faith gets molded and shaped into what God wants it to be, if we stay in the center of His hands, we stay in the center of His will, you're going to be shocked and amazed at how beautiful God can make something out of your life. We must rejoice. Keep the right attitude during the trial so that we can let our light shine before others. Many of you may remember the story of Gideon and his men of 300 that went and fought the Midianites. They had thousands upon thousands with them. Well, the 300 men, they followed the word of the Lord and they followed Gideon and what God had told them to do. It is one of the strangest battle plans that you'll see in your Bible. God tells them to take a torch and to take a pot, a clay vessel, and to cover that torch. Okay? It doesn't put it out, but covers it. And to surround the Midianites. And whenever, at one accord, they were all to shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and they were all to smash the clay vessel. and it revealed the torch. And when they looked up, all they saw were being surrounded by torches, and they began to run, and they fought against each other and killed each other. They didn't have to lift the sword. And then the Bible says that they pursued after them and got to kill the kings. You say, why'd you share that? Because the light was hidden by the vessel. And when God molds you and shapes you into what He wants you to become, sometimes in order for that light to shine, God's got to break you. God's got to break us. We don't always like it. But it's when we're broken that God's light gets to shine through and the potter gets to continue working on us. And that we ought to rejoice. Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed. The trials of your faith. Lessons from Peter. Lessons from the potter. What are we to learn? How are we to go through this? How are we to face these things? God has so much for our lives. God has so much for our church. I can't tell you why God allowed different things to happen. And even while we're displaced at this time, working on a remodel. But I know God's going to glorify Himself through it. God's going to work something that we cannot. The trial that you're going through in your life, God's trying to work. Maybe God's trying to work in your life and you're rebelling and you're not letting Him because you've never trusted Him as your personal Savior. God wants you to surrender to Him. God wants you to trust Him. With heads bowed, with eyes closed this morning, let me ask one simple question before we have the invitation. The simple question is this. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you go to heaven? You ever trusted Christ? You said, I'm going through my life and I'm doing my own thing and I've just never let myself be in the center of His hand. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, we can get that settled this morning. It doesn't cure everything, but it begins to cure it. And God begins to mold you and shape you into what He wants you to be. So let me ask that. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you go to heaven? If you say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I got some doubt. I'm just not sure. Would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. Is there anybody like that? Anybody at all? I'd like to pray for you. You say, I don't know. I've been doing my own thing. I've never fully trusted God. Let today be the day, please. Is there anybody? All right. I don't have any hands raised. Maybe you're still fighting God. I don't know. But God wants to work in your life. We've got an altar worker that's up here. Brother Nick, you can come up here and talk with him. We've got others that can talk to as well. If you're a lady, we've got ladies you can talk to. Allow God to mold you and shape you into what He wants you to become. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for the truths. Help us to apply them to our lives.